Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Samachay in Maseches Shabbos, the 127th daf in Shas. We pick up two lines from the top of Samachay and Aleph, where the Gemara analyzes the Mishnah on Samach Daladim and Beis, particularly the case of Moch Sheba Ozna. The Mishnah tells us that a woman is allowed to go out if she has a cloth in her ear. Something similar, we're not now discussing halacha lemaisa, but something similar to a piece of cotton in her ear. Tana Rabbi Bar Yecheskel, v'hu shekasher ba'ozna. Rabbi Bar Yecheskel says, this is only going to be acceptable if it's tied to her ear. Otherwise, we're afraid that she's going to take it out and come to carry it. The Mishnah also says, u'bimoch sheskina la l'nidasa, that when it comes to the bedika that is done, their Mishnah Nida describes that there was a moch dochuk that was put inside a woman to check if her period had come, and it was left inside for a while. It's even brought down today in Shulchan Aruch as well, although Poskim have pointed out that we don't have the same moch as in the time of Chazal. So the Mishnah told us that she's allowed to go out with that. Also, Savar Rabbi Bar Chama Lemeimer v'ukshikshur la ben yachoseh. Originally, Rabbi Bar Chama thought that one should learn that this is permissible if it's tied to her. Just like we said that when it comes to the ozen, it should only be if it's tied to her. So too, when it comes to the moch, the same halach should apply. Amar Rav afa bishen kasher la kiven de mos lo asila suye. Even if it's not tied, a moch would be acceptable because it is not pleasant to remove it. It's disgusting. And therefore, she won't come to carry it. What happens if there was a handle that was made to the moch? Rashi explains that the Gemara's shaila is that it's no longer disgusting for her to hold it, that her hand won't get dirty. Amalei mutter. Said nevertheless, the halacha is that it is permissible. Itmar nami amar v'nachem bar oshia amar b'yochanan asa salah beis yad mutter. Period. Rabbi Yochanan nafik behu lebe midrasha. Rabbi Yochanan went out to the Beis Medrash. V'chalukin alav chaver. Rashi explains it means that Rabbi Yochanan went out with the moch in his ear and without having it attached to his ear, and his chaverim in the Beis Medrash disagreed with him. Rabbi Yanai nafik behu lekarmelis. Rabbi Yanai went out to a karmelis. V'chalukin alav kol doro. And the entire generation disagreed. The Ritva explains that when Rabbi Yanai went out, he assumed that a karmelis, which we've discussed in the first perek, which is an area that is aser midrabanan to carry, would be different than Rishus HaRabim, and all these gezeros, and particularly this one of the Moch Sheba Ozen, only applies going out in Rishus HaRabim and not a karmelis. To which the Gemara says, Kol Doro, all of his dor, was cholek on him. The Ritva explains beautifully that this will answer something that should jump out at us in the Lashon of the Gemara that seems to be strange. And that is that when it came to Rabbi Yanai, it says the whole generation disagreed with him. When it comes to Rabbi Yochanan, there it just says where Rabbi Yochanan only has his friends arguing with him. And that is that Rabbi Yanai was trying to say that a karmelis has a different status to Rishus HaRabim. And this is universal rule that all Amorayim accepted, that a karmelis is the same thing as a Rishus HaRabim. However, when it comes to the judgment call, of what one is allowed to carry and what is not allowed to carry, so there it's not that he's disagreeing with the whole dor, rather he's just disagreeing with many of his chaverim on the judgment call of carrying. Asks the Gemara, either way, how could Rabbi Yochanan have gone out if we had a brisa of Rami Bar Yecheskel that we learned five lines from the top? Continues of Gemara, six lines before the wide, V'hatani Rami Bar Yecheskel, but didn't Rami Bar Yecheskel teach, V'hu shekasher la ba'azna, that the only way you could go out is if the moch in the ear is tied to the ear. Answers the Gemara, L'kasha hod mahadik ho delo mahadik. It depends on whether the moch is put in tightly in the ear, so then in such a case it doesn't need to be tied. But Rami Bar Yecheskel was talking about an instance where it wasn't placed in tightly. The Mishnah had also said, "Bepilpul galgal melach," that a person is allowed to go out with pepper and granules of salt. Asks the Gemara, what exactly did people go out with those things in their mouth for? Explains the Gemara, "Pilpul l'reach hapeh, galgal melach l'dor sheni." Dor sheni comes from the word shein, and dor means a sickness of teeth. V'chol davar shenasenes l'soch pia, and anything that a person normally puts in their mouth, what exactly is that coming to include? Explains the Gemara in the last narrow line. Zangvalia. Zangvalia is a type of ginger. Inami, or else deritsuna, a type of cinnamon. Shein tocheves shein shel zahav. Rabbi Meir matir v'chachamim osrin. There's a machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham in the end of the Mishnah. If one is allowed to go out with a golden tooth, or a tocheves is a false tooth. Amar Reb Zera Lo Shanu, says in the first line, Ela Shel Zahav, that we're talking about this machlokis in regards to a gold tooth. Avol Shel Kesef Divrei HaKol Mutter. But when it comes to silver, everybody would agree that it's permissible. Rashi explains Divrei HaMaskel Avol Shel Kesef, because once it's silver, it resembles all other teeth, and for that reason it's mutter. That is the first explanation of Rashi, quoting from his Rabbeim. In other words, Rashi on the Mishnah had already explained that the reason why the Chacham prohibit is that a person's going to be scared to smile. Never be afraid to smile. But a person might be afraid to smile because there will be an obvious irregularity if he has a different color tooth. However, if it's silver, Rashi is explaining on our Gemara, then he'll smile, he won't be afraid. If he's afraid, in the case of the Mishnah, then he's still going to smile, but what he'll do is he'll take out the tooth. When it comes to silver tooth, we don't have that fear. This is the explanation of Rashi on the Mishnah, with Rashi from his Rabbeim. Rashi himself learns a different shot. He says that when it comes to a gold tooth, because it's chashuv, he might be very concerned about it and want to hold it. However, if it's silver, it's not as chashuv, and therefore he's not going to come to carry it. Rashi then goes on to explain why he prefers his Rabbeim's pshat over his pshat. Excuse me, his own pshat versus his Rabbeim's pshat. Or to be even more precise, why he doesn't understand his Rabbeim's pshat as opposed to his pshat. Tanya Mihachi, we also learned in a braisa like this as well. Mishel kesef direi akol mutter. If it's of silver, the halacha is that everyone holds it's permissible. Shel zav, if it's of gold, Rebbe matir v'chacham mosim. Rebbe says it's permissible and the chacham prohibit it. Amar Abai, Rebbe, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, kulu svir luhu, all of them hold, de kol midi de mingi be lo asi l'achuye. This idea that we learned that something that is odavar hagnai, to hold, a person will not end up carrying, which is the backbone behind the shita of Rebbe. We're not afraid that she's going to even take out the gold tooth, in contrast to shita's chachamim. Says Abaye, Omar Abaye, Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, kulu svir luhu. To call midi de meganye bay, anything that is disgusting, lo asi lachu yeshu not come to carry. Rebbe Hada Amrin, Rebbe Shita, we mentioned in our Mishnah, that's why he's not concerned about the golden tooth. Rebbe Eliezer design, Rebbe Eliezer is based on the following brisa. Rebbe Eliezer poiter bekoveles ubitzlochish shel plaiton. Rebbe Eliezer holds that it is not an isur d'oraisa to go out with a knot that holds a koveles that we've discussed in the past on the Samach Beis Amid Aleph, which is a knot that holds a favorable odor that is particularly used, Rashi over there towards the bottom explains, when a woman herself has a bad odor. Ubitzlocha shel plaiton, that was a small receptacle that was held to, or more precisely made, to hold a positive odor. And again, a person would wear it to counteract a negative odor, so they wouldn't take it off. Reb Shimon ben Elazar is the other opinion. Desanya klalam Reb Shimon ben Elazar, kol shehu lemata min hasvacha yotzeba. Lemala min hasvacha eini yotzeba. Anything that's above the woolen head covering that a woman would wear, in such a case she cannot go out because she might take it off because she won't uncover her hair. However, if it's underneath the woolen cover, so the woolen cover was the final line before Giloy Rosh, and let's say she has a smaller hat or a pin and so on, she will not take off the svacha to carry the other thing, because then that will cause her to be over on Giloy Rosh. The Mishnah continues, 10 lines from the bottom on Samech Hem and Aleph. Yotze besela shel hatzinus. A woman is allowed to go out with a sela. A sela was a coin that was put on a tzinus, on a wound. The Gemara will explain what the incentive would be to put a coin on a wound. It sounds strange to the modern mind. Habanus ketanus yotze bechutin. Young girls may go out with threads. Vafilu kismin shebaznein. Or even with silver that is in their ears. We've alluded to in the past that once upon a time, girls would get their ear pierced, but earrings weren't made for them until later on. So the halacha is they're allowed to go out with the threads or silvers that were put into the ears to maintain the piercings, and we're not afraid that they're going to take it out. Arvios yotzes ru'ulos, an Arab woman may go out with a veil. Umadis prufos, and median, in other words, women for madia could go out prufos, that means their coats fastened over their shoulders. Madia is today northwestern Iran. V'chol adam, and all people could do those things. El shedibru chacham behovet, but it was common for the Arabian women to go out more covered. Some things don't change. Parefes ala evin, she may fasten her cloak with a stone. V'ala egos, or with a nut. V'al hamatbeya, or with a coin. B'vad shelo tifrof l'chatchila b'Shabbos, on the condition that she doesn't fasten it initially on Shabbos. She's not allowed to use a coin as a button on Shabbos if it wasn't set aside before Shabbos because of the halachos of Muktzah. Let's begin the Gemara 8 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, my tzinus. What exactly is the tzinus that the coin is being put on top of? Answers the Gemara, basara. It is a bunion or something or some type of wound that's on the bottom of the foot. Umayishna sela. And why? What is particular about sela that you put a coin, the strangest of remedies, you put the coin on the foot? Ilema, says the Gemara, kol mi didakusha malala. Analyze the Gemara. Ilema kol mi didakusha. If anything that's hard, malila is an advantage for the wound. Rashi explains, because it protects the wound from sharp things. For example, thorns and other obstacles. Levad lechaspa, then why use such a strange thing like a coin? Use a shard, a piece of clay that's not sharp. Elo mishum shuchsa. But rather, the advantage is that there is a small amount of moisture that comes out of the metal that's helpful for the wound. Ask Samar li avlu tasa, so then why don't you use a scrap of silver? Why specifically a coin? Ela mishum tsurasa. It must be that the imprint of the coin, the tsura of the coin, is going to be helpful. It's quoted in the name of the Shita Miyuchas Laharan, that because there are indentations in the tsura, it goes in and out, so then it has a positive impact on the wound. Says the Gemara, Liavalo Pulsa. So then, in such a case, you should use a piece of wood and make an engraving inside of the wood that would cause it to have ups and downs, crevices and lumps. So we see from here that all of the above factors are helpful. The fact that it has ups and downs, the fact that it's metal, all of those things help the wound. 5 lines from the bottom, the Gemara continues to analyze the Mishnah that said that habanos yotzos bechutin, that the girls are allowed to go out with these strings in their ears. Avodah Shmuel lo shavak lebante dinafik bechutin. The father of Shmuel did not allow his daughters to go out with these things. Now the Gemara begins to discuss another set of examples that Avodah Shmuel instituted vis-a-vis halacha. V'lo shavak lehu ginoin gabe hadadi. And he didn't let them sleep next to each other when they were young.
The Gemara later on will address why. Va'avalu mikvos biyomei Nisan umiftzi biyomei Tishrei. And he made for them a mikvah during the spring months. And he made mats, Rashi explains, on the bottom of the Euphrates River in order that there, when they would go to the mikvah, there wouldn't be mud that would collect on their feet before they went into the mikvah, and they would walk on the mats going in to the river of the Euphrates when they were going for Tahara, to Bitova. We're going to analyze all these cases now. Lo shaviklu yotzes bechutin. He didn't let them go out with the strings in the ears that our Mishnah seemed to permit. Va'anan tanan habanus yotzes bechutin. But didn't we learn that the girls can go out? Since answers the Gemara, bante davu de Shmuel, the daughters of the father of Shmuel, did tzivonin havu. Daughters of Shmuel used to wear red bands. In other words, it wasn't a neutral color. They wore a band in their ear. Even when they were young, they had nice color to it. So then, in such a case, lo shavik luhu, he didn't let them take it out, because even the bands they might show to their friends. Even the daughters of Shmuel are still normal girls. At the end of the day, they would want to show things to each other. Continues the Gemara, four words. Lo shavik luhu ganyon gabi adadi. He would not let them sleep next to each other. Let me say it later, Ravuna. This seems to be a proof to Ravuna. Dam Ravuna, noshim hamisolos zu bizu psulos likuhuna. By sleeping next to each other, they might either advertently or inadvertently compromise the other's besulos, and therefore the Torah Kedoshah says that a Kohen Gadol is only allowed to marry a besula. And since some of the hymen of the virginity might fall away, so then in such a case she'll become posel to a Kohen Gadol. Rashi asks on the top of Samachem Abeis, the end of the first line, that already by the time of Shmuel there wasn't any Kohen Gadol, that Shmuel's concern was that this was derech znus, and his example that it's inappropriate is because that they become psulos l'kohen gadol. Gemara says, lo, maybe he doesn't hold like Rav Huna. Sava, rather, Avu Shmuel's chash was, ki heiched lo lilfin gufa nachroi, not to get used to being very close to other bodies, and then they'll have less of a yetzahara to be mezane with a man. Period. Va'avilhu mikvah biyomei Nisan. And he also made a mikvah during the spring months. Why did he make specifically a mikvah in the spring months? So Gemara will explain. Messiah the Rav, this is a proof to Rav. To Amar Rav, as Rav taught, Mitra bimarava sahada rabba pras. The reign of Eretz Yisrael is testified in the Euphrates River. Rashi explains that goes down from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and there's a lot of rainwater that gathers over there. Savar, Rashi adds the word, the letter visavar, which makes a lot of sense. Visavar, and Avod Shmuel held, shelo yirbu anotvin ala zochlin, that we have to be careful that there isn't more rain water than stagnant water. Again, let's go with Rashi's change in the Gemara. Shema yirbu hanotvin ala zochlin. Lest there be more rainwater, which is referred to notvin, as opposed to zochlin, is naturally running water. A mayon has mayim zochlin. A river might, as we will develop in a moment, have two types of water to it. One is the natural spring water that came from the river source, and then, of course, comes the rain. Says Avu Shmuel, I'm concerned that during the spring months, after a heavy raining season, even though Pras has Zochlin, but Shema Yirbu Anotfin Al HaZochlin. The basis behind this halacha, as Rashi explains in Dibra Maskel V'Savar, is that the Torah Kedoshah says, Ach mayin ubar mikvei mayin. That there are two different ways in Parshas Shmini that a person could do tahara, and that is in a natural water spring or a pit gathered of rainwater. Both are kosher, with many differences as described in Maseches Mikvos. The most basic difference is that a bar of mayim, it requires rainwater
of 40 sa'a, while a mayan is metaher bekolshu, even the smallest amount. And there are many, many other differences. For our purposes, if the river of Pras is a mayan, so then in such a case, fine. It's moving water, and a mayan is kosher. However, when it comes to rainwater, there's another difference between the mar and the mayan, and that is that rainwater that gathers in a mikvah, in a bar, needs to be ashporen, needs to be sitting in one place. If, however, the water is running, so then in such a case, it's considered pasul as a mikvah. So a mayan could be moving, a mikvah can be not. It has to be still. Now, what happens if you have a moving river? Is that kosher for tahara, or is that not kosher tahara? The answer is it depends. What's the source of the river? If the source of the river is a spring, fine. Ein baya. However, if the source of the river is rainwater, then that's problematic because it has to be sitting as collected water and it cannot be moving. Says Avuah Shmuel, during the months that there isn't a lot of water, then the majority of the Nehar Pras is a spring, and therefore there's no problem with the fact that the water is moving. However, when it comes to the post-rain period, then the majority of the water is rainwater, not spring water. And in such a case, it needs to be Ashboren, and therefore there's going to be a problem during the Yemei Nisan to be Tovel, simply in the Euphrates River. Hence, Va'avilu Mikvah B'Yomei Nisan. Ironically, Avuah Deshmuel's own son disagreed with him. Upliga Deshmuel, and this disagrees with Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, because in the Shmuel taught, Nahara Mikifba Mivrich. A river is blessed from its source. In other words, it, according to Shmuel, a river, it almost sounds like a machlokas and metzias. A river, one does not have to worry about the fact that it's moving because it's considered spring water. Pliga didei adidei. And they argue one another. Damar Shmuel, because Shmuel also said, Ein amayim mitar mizochen el apras biyomei tishrei bilvad. The Gemara is pointing out that there is a contradiction within Shmuel himself, because Shmuel said that you could only be Tovel in Pras after the dry season in Yom Tishrei. Why? Because the waters in the Pras are pasul because they're moving. Now, wait a second. If we hold that the Pras is a Mayan, there's no problem. Zochlin is not pasul when it comes to Mayan, only by a mikvah. Hence, the Gemara says, Pligi didei adidei, that Shmuel contradicts himself, and we have a difficulty within the Shita of Shmuel. Bezras Hashem, we will discuss more in the Halacha section about how this sugya applies to modern-day shailas of tevila for a woman whose time has come to go to the mikvah. We had also learned in our Mishnah that one is allowed to go out with a stone to use as a button and to fasten one's coat. Asks the Gemara, Va'amrit Reisha Porefes. That was Porefes ala Evan. But then we learn also, in the Reisha we spoke about Porefes, about the women from Medea, that they're able to be Porefes, that they're allowed to fasten on their shoulder. Amar Abaye, Seifa Asan L'matbea. You're right. Abaye says, for the stone there's not much Chiddush, but the Chiddush here is in regards to the use of the coin, that the Mishnah wanted to bring out that a coin that wasn't designated beforehand will be considered muktzah, as the Mishnah concludes. Period. Boya baya baya as ishamahu shetearim vitifrof al ha'egos lahotzi libna katan bishabbos. Can a woman do a harama? Harama means a trick, that she could put a walnut on her clothing and use it to fasten, but ultimately she's also bringing it her child will have a egos on Shabbos. Explains the Gemara Shaila. T-boy, the Shaila exists. L'manda Amar Maribin, according to Manda Amar, that Harama at times is acceptable. Rashi explains that this is the Gemara on Kuf Chaf Amar Aleph, that a person is allowed to wear many garments of clothing and to say, I'm wearing 10 sweaters, because I'm in the mood of 10 sweaters. Normally, even if it's cool outside, you don't wear 10 sweaters. But a harama is going to be acceptable for carrying out. So when it comes to the mandarmer says marimin, then we also have a shayla. Tiboy le mandarmer, a marimin. And according to the mandarmer says a marimin, there's also a shayla. Gemara explains immediately. Tiboy le mandarmer, marimin bidleika. According to the mandarmer says marimin with the sweaters on kuf chafam and alf. That's talking about where there was a fire. Hasamhu, there maybe he says marimin di lo sharis leib, because if we're not going to allow people to do this, asi lichvuye, they'll come to this extinguish the fire. Aval hacha, but in our case, ilo sharis leib lo asi lifuke, if we don't allow them, he won't come to carry out, so we don't have to be so machmir. Excuse me, so makel, and say that here too, the woman would be able to fasten the walnut. Odilma or else, afil man damar emarimin bidleika. According to Mandamar that says, even by a fire, you can't do a rama. Hasam derech hotzabekach. Over there, you're carrying out in a way that would qualify as derech hotzah. Because there, by the sugya of Dleika, it was not only someone who wore 10 sweaters, Rashi explains, but rather, we're talking about a mochrei ksus that would carry a rod on his back and place the garments on that rod. Aval hacha ein derech hotzabekach. But this is not the normal way to carry out a walnut. You put a walnut in a pocket, put it in a bag, hold it in your hand. But to fasten it onto your garment before Shabbos, that's not derech hotzah. A mashapir dummy, maybe that's good. Teiku tishbi yitadeitz kushiyus ve'abayis eliyoha tishbi. When I was young, this is how they taught us to say it. The eliyoha tishbi will come and answer our questions. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the daf of Samach Hei in Maseches Shabbos. We now go on to halacha section. Halacha section from Daf Samach Hei is a fascinating and practical one that emerges from our daf, and not only emerges from the issues of the daf, but the halacha reminds us emerges from the poskim on the daf. And in this case, the poskim of our poskim. Here's the shayla. An individual is away on vacation, couple are away on vacation, it is an area where there isn't a mikvah close by. Should one go to a river to do vila or mida? That's our Gemara. Samachem the base. There are two opinions. There's Avodah Shmuel and one tradition of Shmuel himself. The opinion of Avodah Shmuel was that a river during the dry months, at the end of the summer in Eretz Yisrael, where there isn't a lot of rain, as well as in Bubba, with the water, the Euphrates as well, Shmuel argued, came from a mixture of rainwater and rainwater. According to both Avodah Shmuel and Shmuel as well, during the dry months, there wasn't a lot of rainwater, and therefore, despite the fact that the river is moving, it's not like in Mitzvah where we're very, very careful to check every part of the wall to make sure there isn't a crack, that the Mitzvah qualifies as a bullet, as city water and not as zofri. Even when it comes to a river, if it's after months of dry months where there isn't rainwater, then everybody agrees that the majority is a mayim and one would be allowed to do the halacha in such a mikvah. The issue though is, do we follow the opinion of Shmuel versus the father of Shmuel in regards to when there is a lot of rain or a significant amount of rain? The opinion of Shmuel is Nahara Mikipe Mikvah, that a river is defined by its qualities of having water that comes from its spring source. We always assume that that is the majority of water, and a river will always be considered to be a mikvah. However, Avodah Shmuel built for his daughters a mikvah after the rainy months because he was concerned the Euphrates, Nahar Prat, would have more rainwater than spring water, and therefore one would have to be concerned that a river might very well be problematic to be used as a mikvah. Again, it should be noted, the Rishon Morei notes that Beis Yosef and Simon Reish Alshin Beis point out that, of course, we have a contradiction in Shmuel. this leaning position of Shmuel. If women raise out of Tzvi Beis in Yoredeya, we have in our resource, in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam, and here's the bottom line, here's the front. The Shulchan Aruch passes black. Da'avua de Shmuel, that the halacha is that one is not allowed to use a river when it's a rainy season. However, the Rambam has things different. Here's the language of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, the pain nachon laholos ula hachmir. It would be correct to be hachmir. However, he has other yinch matim looked over the halos parashon ha'afishat ha'gishon, that there are some who are mako. And even though the Rambam feels there are many mukolos to be hachmir, he concludes the same nachon ula'ol mekoma. This was a custom, notice the word custom in many places, the makom she'ein mikvah, in a place where there was no mikvah. The ein mikvah, the yachanot, in the hospital, you should not protest, for those who are unable, the yesh lehem ha'mishi is smoking. But they have room to rely on. However, the Rama will have three stages. Number one, that he says, mikvah the dinah, there's room to be makvah. Yet the minute is to be mikvah, that's the second part of the Rama. And the third part of the Rama is the following. Minu yesh lizani lipto benahar ha-mishadu dami al-dei kishani. You have to be careful about a river that was entirely made out of rainwater, like a reservoir. However, if it's a river that just extended due to the water, due to the rainwater, out of the Nahar Shein, a posek, out of the Shibishan, out of the Shem, the Surata, the Mispache, again he says, Mudurit Bobo, the Mamoko, the Bisparas, and the Kilim, the Bimashen Hoku. So the only area that one has to be master on, according to Ramon, where there is no mikvah, is a reservoir which has collected only rainwater, that won't be problematic. However, a regular river, even if you know that the river gets larger due to rainwater, would still be acceptable. So what emerges is our Tosfos captures the day halacha l'maaseh. The Tumas Hadeshim in Siman Reish Nun Daled explains the position of the Bali Tosfos and our leaning approach, even though we're dealing with an Isser Kareh. And he writes, he says, the partial of Kama Yoros and the Kumashim Spazisham and Yudit, that there are cities where there aren't a lot of Jews, the Iyavika Asuru, the Nazi Ritual, the Nahara, that we would prohibit, and it's treason to call Tzivah the Korea, and they wrote Tirfa, of the Rizal Rizal. If we would force women to travel far and wide, if they only had a river and a mikvah was far away, then ultimately Kamsa Kalila, the mitzvah of Tzivah and the Yisra of Kareis, would be forgotten. In a sefer, Gidulei Tahara, it is pointed out that the Tumas Hadeshet was talking about an instance where it was difficult for people to do viva. However, where a mikveh is available, then a river should not be used. That's what Gidulei is a double puzzle within the Tumas Hadeshet. The Gidulei Tahara even goes a step further. This requires discussion by Gidulei Tahara because here there is a lot at play with Shalabayus for Kuru Ruh, where he said, suggests that if it would only be a day or two wait, that a person will be at in a day or two from now, will be at a place that has a regular kosher mitzvah that's not dependent on Makokas Amorayim in the Gemara, then in such an instance, one should wait a day or two. It does not necessarily sound that way from the Ramah, and this is a question for Gidolei Hakos. This Bezer Hashem concludes a exciting application from the Daf Yomi, where we see that the Daf and the Tosos become alive. Bezer Hashem is concluded.